Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
Been running around like a maniac. It has been nonstop around here. It's funny, you know? It's like one of those things, like, you know, you always, like, kind of fantasize. You might be listening to this right now. You're going to work or coming from work or going out or just hanging out or doing your thing. But we all have that little daydream, you know? And I think, you know, I'm living it right now, the get out of your fucking job and go do your own thing daydream. And it's funny, man. I think I'm working harder now than ever before. I mean, it's just not the same kind of work, of course, but dude, I am fucking running ragged, I think, just trying to get a lot of things in order and things to where they are. So, but that's good. I think that's it means you're doing a lot. I used to measure it by sketchbook pages. You know, it's one of the ways that I kind of tell when I've been crazy or cuckoo or fucking nuts or doing the right thing. I go and see, like, okay, I'm killing Moleskines and Fabiano sketchbooks left and right. That means I'm building a lot. I'm doing a lot, you know? How much am I scanning? How much am I putting in? You know, how much is, you know, building, you know? And it's not all gold, believe me. If I put everything else that I actually did or put together or sketched or noodled or doodled up, I mean, it would be ridiculous. I would have 4 or 5 posts on the WordPress site by itself, or and the Instagram would have like 20 posts. I mean, I try to pick and choose stuff that seems interesting, stuff that you guys would like to hear or see, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just that constant noodling, and now it's like, you know, I gotta go meet some people and go talk to others and return a phone call and then an email. I mean, a lot of it is just what we have, and I guess you could say it is our own little industry talk, but one of our things is, you know, the Hollywood talk, and you get a lot of that sometimes, and it's something that you guys, you know, especially as a creator or somebody that makes stuff, you gotta be really careful about, you know? It's not bad. It's not bad to dream, man. Like I said, you know, everybody has their little daydream, their little thing, the ideas that you have in mind, the stuff that you want to do. It's not bad. But you just got to be careful, because a lot of people love to talk and they don't do shit. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time, but for real, if I had a nickel for every time somebody came to me, sat down with me, even wanted to talk, wanted to rap about some kind of big plan, some kind of big play, I would have a good amount of money. I mean, everybody dreams, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think you have to just be careful about how much you talk about it and with who you talk about it with. I think everybody wants to get this shit out and do all this stuff, and it's cool, but they're not making the steps towards it, even the little baby steps, even the little, you know, I like I said, you know, I don't know how many artists I know will talk about these comics they want to make or these things they want to do, and then, you know, I see them posting, like, you know, they got this new game, or they're in line for a movie, or they're fucking taking off somewhere, or they're out drunk, you know, whatever, which is fine. You got to have your fucking downtime. But once you do it consecutively, after a while, I can know, all right, you're eating shit. You're not doing anything. You're eating shit with it, and you're fucking talk. And I don't hold it against them. I'm not like, oh, fuck that guy, I don't want to talk to him. But no, I don't take you seriously. So that's the kind of take I have on some stuff. Some people are more because they want to do stuff and they don't know how to do it. And they'll come to me and say, you know, how do I approach this project? And that's when I have no problem with that. I'll talk to people all the time about, like, different ways of going about their thing. And it's so funny because sometimes to me it seems so much easier other people's shit than mine. You know, I just see what they want to do. And I'm like, that's so simple. That's so great. Why don't you just fucking do this, 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 and this? And they're, like, looking at me like, oh, shit. Like, I can tell. Like, I have this thing when I'm talking to somebody. I know when the idea is getting in there. when I see like their eyebrows raising up and they're like looking at me, you know, they like if they're looking at me for the first time, you know, I know the idea is going in, and I know it's delving deep, and so I know something's getting ignited, and it's fun, it's cool, I love doing that, but it's exhausting because all that energy I'm putting out is energy I'm not putting into a project. It's energy I'm not putting into something else. And I have to do it because you always have to keep stirring the pot and see what comes out. You know, keep shaking those trees to see what falls. But fuck it, Andy. You know, the Hollywood talk, the big fucking, let's do this, bro. It's gonna be huge, dog. All right, cool, man. All right, cool. So we're gonna film at 5 in the morning on Saturday. What time are you showing up? Oh, man, I just, you know, I was gonna go fishing or I had these plans and it's the Friday I'm gonna be going out. It's like, fuck, dude. You know, you're full of shit. You're full of shit. And it's again, I don't get mad about it, but it's just those are the examples I tell you. So you gotta be really careful. You know, you gotta find those people that are dedicated to what you're doing, dedicated to creating as much as you are, that are willing to go and say, fuck yeah, let's do this. That kind of shit. So I've been finding that, I've been doing that, but that's just, man, I am fucking running ragged. Again, I feel like it's been a long time since I podcasted, even though it's been what, since Friday. So, well, yeah, you know, I mean, hopefully you guys enjoyed the Spock little thing I put together, just talking about it. I felt it was, you know, kind of necessary. It was a huge deal. I think we all need to kind of rally around and talk about that. And I had to say something about it. And but going to anything that's like an artist or celebrity fucking death or what have you know. I think we you know go find out about them, you know, I mean before they die, you know, if there's somebody you're really into, it's so easy now, like you can just Wikipedia the fucking thing and go fucking see everything that they're doing and everything that's going on. It's fun and you can find out stuff and you see this deeper self in a lot of people, and when you see how they're doing their thing or what they're doing or what they're doing now or where else, you know, it's kind of cool. It gives you a new perspective on an artist, and it can give you perspective for yourself. So I think that's something that could should really be considered and stuff like that. So yeah. So this episode I'm gonna try to do the part two. I'm gonna talk about, you know, on going to conventions, attending cons. I don't think this will be comprehensive as I want it. I feel like there'll be holes in it. If you guys have questions or you guys have them something more you want to talk about or say on the conventions or something, as always, you can go to the phone line 806-414 Juan and leave a message, or you can always email me at secretmediagroup, all one word, at gmail.com. And you can always talk to me on Twitter too, Fuacata, Fuacata, and just ask me questions on that, on the whole end. But we're going to probably get into that for a little bit. And since I gave my phone number, and who'd have thought that giving a voicemail number on the internet would lead to shit, I'll probably hear some outtakes that people did on the voicemail that some are really good. Some suck. I mean, some are like whatever, but some are really, and I already found the culprits that did it, so that I know that these were friends and shit eating shit on that phone. But I'm going to post some of those probably at the end of the podcast if you want to listen to the ridiculousness of the voicemail. So yeah, so we're gonna go into attending cons, okay, and being on the other side of the table. This is not about, you know, actually going as just a person, you know, just like the go look, the go sell, go do your thing, go do network what a fucking con networks, man. You know, that's what it's all about. So we're probably gonna go into that for this next half hour or so, and we'll talk then.
Who do I sign it to?
I'm walking with a you fucking tree, sir!
A piece of chocolate around your dead fucking body, you fuck!
Would you get him out of here?
Hey, wait a second! Eat your meat! You fucking tracer!
Your mother's a tracer!
Can I explain the audience principle to you? If you insult and accost him, then we have no audience.
He started it, fucking cock knocker! He took out and put my pen through its thorax!
Need I remind you? Curtains in 10 minutes. Okay?
Alright, got some coffee in me, so now we can get into this. Ready? Go. So, One of the things I touched upon in the last podcast is why you should do a con. And that's really up to you. That's one of those personal fucking, what am I going to do, blah, blah, blah kind of fucking things. And yeah, that's really up to you. But I will say this. You need to be ready for everything. This is the big step, you know? Because anytime you go out there publicly with your artwork, with your thing, whatever it is you're doing, be it, you know, I want to, you know, apply as much as possible to you guys that are out there that are doing craft shows, are doing, you know, other kind of conventions and stuff. Yeah, the writers out there making novels and stuff like that. You got to, like, kind of figure your audience and figure everything. The cons are where to do it. This is where to introduce yourself. This is where people will get to know who you are. And you got to start making the steps and doing the things towards it. Those are the places to do it, you know? This is, you know, your chance to really engage the audience and for the audience to get to know you. Because of that, I mean, this is where the emotional pitfalls are. I mean, I have seen tears at the end of cons. I have seen tears during cons. I mean, it's hard, man. It's fucking hard. And I think nothing is worse sometimes than if you're doing a con, you're showing your work. I mean, I think if you had, you know, if you had people hate your work, you would be like, oh, okay. Well, at least you can feed off that. If somebody was like, fuck you, I don't like your work. All right, cool. All right, let's work with that. Let's take this anger and morose and make it into a ball and turn it into a thing and shoot it right back. But sometimes it's just the apathy that goes on. And it's because it is a very weird beast what a convention is. I will tell you this. We do really good, especially at Creature Entertainment and stuff. We do really good at cons. That's our forte, I gotta say, out of everything, you know. There's other stuff that we suffer, you know, we're not doing that great at or we need to work on. But when it comes to cons and going doing conventions and stuff like that, especially like with John and I, man, we hit those things hard, you know. And we'll do as much as possible. You know, we're good, pretty good salesmen. We're good at, you know, blabbing and talking and enjoying it. I mean, part of it is because we enjoy it. We love being at cons. You know, I think John is the only person I know that probably loves doing it more than I do, in the sense that he'll be the first one that he wants to be there. Con opens at 10, he wants to be there at 8 in the morning, and I'm like, dude, it takes half hour to set up, why the fuck are we here? But he wants to be there to see everything and walk around and talk to people and this and that. So that's, you know, the approach you have to do. That's not wrong at all. That's exactly how you have to do. I'm just lazy and 90% of the time hungover, so it's kind of like hard to do that depending the con. So it's something you guys have to struggle with, and you have to figure for yourselves. But just remember, you're fucking awesome, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you know? Remember what you can do, and then just harness that and just show it. The problem is people don't know. All that great stuff in your head, you got to put it on paper. You got to put it in the world. You got to make it a reality in whatever way that you're going to make a reality, and go out there, you know? Let people know about it. That's what you need to do, man. You know, sitting at your desk, at your home, in your room, whatever, and not letting people see stuff is unfair to the world and unfair to yourself. No one's going to know you by doing that. No one. So an idea is worth shit until you do something with it, you know? So go out there. You know, I always say that that's a flying car fucking thing. You know, everybody has an idea of the flying car. I have an idea of the flying car. You probably have something in your head right now of a flying car. And it's worth nothing. Until the day you fly in your flying car. Then you're a genius. Then suddenly everybody's like, oh my God, you're so awesome. See the difference between the realities, the idea, and the manifestation of it? That's what you have to do. And sometimes, hey, you know, the first one's going to suck. The second one's going to suck less. The third one's going to suck less. And so on and so forth. So cons are the ultimate medium to take that out there and kind of put it to the fire and see if it walks, you know? And a lot of people need to take that on. And it's hard. But I'm going to try to tell you what to do and what not to do. Now, one of the things I kind of talked about last time and we were touched on is the idea of, like, all right, you know, get to know the promoters, get to know the people behind the scenes. You know, that's a big deal. That's a good thing, you know? These are people that you might make lifelong relationships with. You're going to have people that you're always going to talk to that, you know, it'll mutate. Maybe you don't do a con or they don't do cons anymore, but there'll be somebody that later on, you know, is still in the industry. Those are the people that are, you know, the fellow samurai that are always involved in this. You know, I have a lot of friends out there that, you know, it's just funny because we're just like, can't wait to meet up at MegaCon. Can't wait to meet up at New York Comic Con because they're people we see every year and we hang out and we talk, you know. And I found people that are like, again, fellow mutants, fellow samurai in this. And that's why you have to network. You know, you have to be there. So, I mean, I'm going to break it down, you know. First and foremost, you know, once you know the promoter, you know, it also helps out. You know, and if they're your friends, then maybe they'll give you a good price. If you're going to come back every year or you do all their different events, they'll be willing to give you something off on the booth space or on the table space, whatever you're going to get. As long as you're consistent with it and you're helpful and not bitching or complaining, they'll consider you. I don't know how many people I have seen it where, you know, they do Artist Alley or they do a publisher's booth, and because somehow they don't have, like, the red carpet fucking rolled out for them or something, they start bitching and complaining about a promoter. Like, they have so much going on in their minds. They have so much crap on their plate. And depending on the con, I mean, if it's a little putt-putt con that you're doing at a hotel and, you know, it's mostly toy dealers and car dealers and crap like that, and you're just kind of showing off your stuff and they're hanging out, hey, man, don't expect too much, all right? You know, be of help, try to promote the show, get people to go there, and just see what happens. You know, talk to other people, talk to dealers. And, you know, these are guys that also know stuff. There's some of these guys are roadies. They know the road and everything else. Talk to them. Next thing you know, they'll tell you what, oh, that con's really good. Oh, the one over there, that's good. Oh, that one sucks. Or that guy's a jerk. Now you're informed. And a lot of people just don't do that. A lot of people, I don't know what the hell they think is going through their head. The promoter is going to try to get people there. That's their main job. Their main job is to get you a table and get you a space. And the other thing, the other responsibility is get people to the convention. That's their whole thing. That's their only responsibility. Get people to the convention. Not get people to the convention for you unless you're a guest or unless you're a celebrity. And they said there's a, and even then, financially, they secure you by having guarantees and stuff like that. You know? A guarantee, by the way, is something that they do get celebrities. You know, say you want X amount of money. Let's say you want $5,000 to be there. They say, cool. Well, you sell photos. You do photos, autographs, or whatever, and they're $20 a pop, $50 a pop, whatever. If over the weekend you meet $5,000, they don't have to pay you anything. If you don't meet your $5,000, they pay you the difference. See what I'm saying? That's a guarantee. Those are the kind of things in the cons, you know. And so sometimes when you see those big guests that show up and you wonder why the ticket's $250 to take a photo with them or an autograph or something like that, you know what? There's a guarantee. That's how much that guest asked for to be there. Again, those are the ins and outs. The promoter has no promise of bringing you customers or bringing you people. He can try to get you in a good space, and depending on where you're at and what you've paid, is you get maybe better traffic or more people. But in the end, even if all that can happen, if you suck as a salesman and if you're not talking to people or not engaging or you don't have the stuff out there to bring people to your table, it's not their fucking problem. If you have a shitty fucking show, unless it's because there's no people at a con, like happened some time back with a convention I knew, then you can give shit to a promoter. Because there's promoters out there that'll tell you, and you have to take that with a grain of salt. They'll be like, yeah, man, I'm going to have 30, 40,000 people at my con. Dude, nobody fucking does that. Unless you're one of the top fucking conventions, like MegaCon or like San Diego or New York or something like that, you're going to see those numbers. You know, you're talking about maybe 10, 15, 20, you know, depending on which con you're going to. There's, you know, that's reasonable. But they're all going to say that because they want you to come. They want you to attend their con, they want you to get a table. So they're going to oversell it. That's like anything else in this world. If you buy a car, they're going to oversell it. You buy a sandwich, they're going to oversell it. You know, yes, the guy, is this the best sub here? Yeah, this is the best sub ever. Of course they're going to say that. They got to sell this shit. So, you know, he has no real, they're going to say shit to you. So his thing is to bring people. And as long as there's people there and there's a lot of people, he did his fucking job and you should shut the fuck up. Past that, unless there was anything else, forget about it. Now, there are some things that you can go to battle with a promoter, but this is not to be a dick about it, but just to say, hey man, you know, this is the situation that I need to do. Like, one of the things that me and John try to do a lot is that we'll go to cons early because we'll make sure, like, if we don't have a space yet, nothing's assigned, okay, make sure we show up early to get a good space. Because if you come later, they're just filling up the spaces. Some cons, they don't have a fucking floor plan. They don't have anything like that. You know, it's great to go to a con, like a big one, like C2E2 or New York, where you don't know where you're going to be. Oh, your booth, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Now I know where I'm going to go, and that's it. All there is to it. And even then, before that, I'm fighting to get a corner booth so I can get two lanes of traffic going. I'm trying to get an area where people will see us, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I do try to argue for that. I try to push for that. That's in any con. But then some of these cons that are not, like, registered, come in and go and see. You never know. They'll say, okay, well, this wall over here, this is where I'm going to have my independent publishers or my artists. All right, cool. I'll get there and I'll say, you know what? I want to be the one right nearest to the door. Or I want to be the one near the back so that when you walk in, you'll see my banner and stuff like that. Which I'm going to get into how to dress up your booth, too. That's a whole other bag also, man. I mean, it's amazing what people show up with and what people don't show up with. It's amazing. So, showing up early, setting up. There's been times that me and John has the magic. John, I will let him do a lot of the setup. Like, I just help. Like, I'll be like, okay, let's put the banner up. Let's put the tie this down. Let's move the table here. But after a while, it's him laying out everything, laying out. Like, for us, we have comics and prints. Those are the two major things. So, him laying out the prints where they're going to go, the comics where they're going to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, we'll do that. We'll set all that up. We'll put all those things in order. He'll kind of say what he wants in the flow, and I let that go, and he you know, he has it, and that's it. You know, we set up. There's times that we go early because, you know, we'll say, you know what, it's better if we move these books over here, or we're gonna put this over that way, put this on a corner so people see it, blah blah blah. So there's a lot of little nuances. You gotta look at the traffic too. The second day I might change everything up, or at the end of the con I'll change everything up, because we say, hey, you know what, more people are coming this way and looking, so let's change the change it so this banner is looking that way, or these prints are going that way, so people will see them. And that's something that we do also. Those are the kind of things you have to really consider and show up early. You know, sometimes they show up early and the guy has no spaces really set up, nothing fucking set up. Maybe you can take advantage. You can, hey man, there's a space right in front of the door, can I have that one? You know, sometimes, you know, the promoter's not going to be involved in that, and there's other people. There might be a guy who says, hey, you know what, I need to be on your side because I need that plug so I can, you know, put a TV up and so people can see it, you know. That's cool too. That's really cool too. So then you say, oh cool, I want that space. You know, you barter, you know. Sometimes you can also, if you want, you say, oh, I'm in a space and I need a plug. Hey, the guy behind me has it. Cool, I can get my extension cord. I can put it back there, charge your phone, put on a monitor, whatever, you know. Learn and understand the cost of it. When you're doing the bigger cons, especially like, you know, some of you guys, you know, Chicago, New York, and stuff like that, you're dealing with a lot of union rules. They have a lot of more officiality over there. It depends on the con you're doing. This is like the bigger ones, like C2E2 again, or, you know, San Diego. They're like big time union. You know, you move a table, you do anything, they're already up your ass. They're just already going to be like, so you got to make sure, know what's going on. Conventions tend to charge for electricity. So if somebody has it, that's because they paid for it. So if they do you the favor of like, hey, you know, hey, can I plug my charger in, or can I plug this? Dude, thank them so much, because that's a big deal. They're paying for that. You know, some people are paying $300, $400, or $500 just to have electricity for the weekend. You know, that's a big damn deal. You know, this is the reason why you go early. Scout out everything. Scout where everything is going to be. Figure out what advantage and disadvantages you have, you know. And you can always puff up stuff. I mean, John has this thing about putting these poles and making our banner go even higher, which is kind of annoying. I really don't care for it, but he really likes doing that so people can see us from far away. And it's helped out. There's some cons that it's like, it's cool because everybody will be like, dude, I saw your banner from like the entrance. And I love that crap. That's great. So let's, you know, show up early. You know, you gotta be there, set up, make sure everything, get to know your neighbors. You know, you see them setting up, help hold a pole, you know, have your tape and scissors and knives ready, because somebody might say, hey, can I have some tape? Hey, can I have some duct tape? I do the same thing. I go around borrowing shit all the time. So, you know, once that happens, you know, you gotta be there early and talk to people and everything else, you know. You know your hours. Know what's going on. You know, when's the door opening? When's the door closing? Some cons have an hour early VIP thing. So if there's the VIPs, they can come in an hour or 30 minutes before the door is officially open. And a lot of guys do that, especially for like the early days, Thursday, Friday, so they can go to a certain artist and make line for them, talk to them, go get commissions and stuff like that. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to come to you, but sometimes like when we do exclusives for New York Comic Con or for Chicago, that's another thing about we'll touch upon later on, exclusives at conventions, because that's another thing that you have to really go out there and put together. Once they come out and everything else, they're going to be, you know, they might come to you and they say, hey, you know, where is that exclusive? Hey, how can I get that? Those are the kind of things that you have to deal with also. So, you know, that might happen. But know your hours, know what's going on, so you can kind of pace yourself too. Know when you're going to close down. That's another thing that we'll end about closing out. There's a big deal about that. You know, we'll touch upon all those. There's so many things. I swear, I think I could have done a 5-part fucking podcast on it. But I'm going to try to go through this, and you guys tell me, you know, where you might say, hey, you skipped a step or whatever. Now, once the doors open and the people start coming in and everything else, again, don't think gangbusters. You know, one of the things that happened too is like a lot of people will look at a Thursday, Friday show, you know, the morning or whatever, and they'll be like, you know, oh man, you know, not that many people bought, or now they're, you got to pay attention to people's badges. You know, pay attention to whatever credentials. When you talk to them, you know, always say hi and everything. But pay attention to what's going on. There's some people that have a 3-4 day pass. They're going to be there the whole weekend. They're not going to buy shit that day. They're going to wait till Sunday, which is the buying day, which everybody goes to buy shit. Because a lot of people don't want to go home with the shit they have. They're going to give deals. They're going to give everything. You know, the exclusives might be gone. The commissions might be gone. But the stuff is still there. So they might not want to spend money at the moment, right then and there. So you guys have to be patient. You know, sometimes people don't want to make a commitment. They're going to come back 2, 3, 4 times. I don't know how many times I've had people that say, oh, I'm going to come back and get this. Oh, I'm going to have to come back and get this. Some things you guys have to have. You should have, you know, I try to have every time, and I do it for other things, bags. I mean, if you're selling a lot of stuff like I do, you know, if it's something that you have like a single comic or a zine or something small, look for something that can package it all together, because that's going to be cool too. So if you have like a little paper bag, one of those like slim bags that a comic can fit into and everything else, like the brown paper ones, do something cool. Maybe print something or put something on each one or sign something so they can see it. You know, put your comic in there, put whatever else they got to get in there. If it's a print or whatever, give it to them so they can, but they have a bag and that bag goes in there. First off, if they have a bag, they're going to appreciate it because it's going to be easier to carry and it's not going to get as fucked up. Second, if they're going to put it in another bigger bag, like those huge fucking Tauntaun fucking bags that they use to carry just shit, it's going to differentiate your stuff from everything else. Because when they get back, they're going to be taking all this stuff out of the bag and say, oh, I got this comic, I got this book, I got this figure, whatever. Your stuff is going to be nice and packed in one little thing, and they'd be like, cool. And people really appreciate having a bag, you know? And you'll be surprised. If you go around the con and you see somebody with like a lot of bags, you know, we've gone to, like, you know, everything from the convention people themselves, like Wizard World, to other suppliers like Hot Flips and these guys. Say, hey, man, you have bags? They're like, here. And they'll give us a box of fucking bags. Because it's great for them. You put your books in there and everything else, people walk away with their bag with their fucking info on it. I mean, if you have the money, I would even go so far as making the bags, you know? If you're going to be, you know, if you really have a lot of stuff that you're selling and you really want to give something to somebody, that's going to be great too, because they're going to see it, and you can't, I'm telling you, later on, they're not going to forget you. They're going to be like, oh yeah, you're so-and-so. I saw your bag. I had your bag in my car and I have all your stuff in it. Cool. That's one way to do it. So you got to be prepared. And if not, if you have those just regular thank you bags that are like grocery bags, that's fine too. You don't have to go all out, but it's something that you have to be prepared for, and there's so many people that are going to look for stuff. Because sometimes, too, like, we sell a lot of prints, 11 by 17 prints. Luckily, we have what are called top loaders for it. They're the plastic sheets. If you have that, then, you know, we sell that also, so that kind of helps us, too, when we make extra funding. We have that also. People are willing to go and buy the prints, buy the top loader. They can fit 3 prints inside. When they put it together and they take it with them, it's cool because now they have everything in one place. They have it all in their arm with them and they can keep going and there's no problems, you know? If not, if you take a print by yourself, you know how it is in a con, everybody. Sometimes you're bumping into people and coming in and out and everything. Some people, what they'll do is they'll say, hey, you know, I'll come back and pick it up. You know, try to put one to the side. It's happened to us where we have sold out of shit. People come back and say, hey, where's my print? And it's fucking happened. I've been so ashamed and mad about that. I remember I ended up coming back home, and when we reordered the prints that the guy wanted, I mailed it to him. You know, he was cool about it. He was like, yeah, man, if you can just mail it to me. I'm like, sure, fucking no problem. But I felt so horrendous about that. Take stock. Make sure you know what you're fucking selling to. I mean, you know, one thing that, yeah, I think most of us do is we try to make an inventory beforehand, you know, how many books, how many prints, how many whatever, and then we'll take up an inventory afterwards so we can kind of figure. For us, it's kind of hard to go and say, hey, you know, we sold X amount and it's that means we made X amount, because we make a lot of deals. We do a lot of things where, hey, you buy a book and a print, it's this much. You buy three prints and a book, I'll throw in that. We'll haggle. We'll let people haggle. Sometimes, you know, I'll give them a set of books, you know, the Zombier set with a print and everything signed for, you know, 35, they'll come around and say, hey, can I do 30? And I'll be like, fuck it, all right, you know. Depending on how I feel and whatever, you know, I'll make it move, you know. Just to get the books in their hands and make, like, a tiny little profit, you know. So that's kind of hard for us. But if you can, like, Square, oh, man, that's a whole thing, too. Square is an amazing, amazing fucking thing. Square, there's PayPal. I just found out, like, Etsy's doing this, you know, that they can, you know, take accounts, they can take credit cards for you, which is so necessary now, and you have to have Square, and you have to have something. I don't care what you want to use, PayPal, Square, whatever, they're all the same, you know, whatever works best for you. If you can have the signal clear, sometimes if you're at these big cons, there's so many people on cell phones at the same time, they get a signal, it's the hardest thing in the world. So sometimes you have to get, you know, a little Wi-Fi device or something to help amplify or get a signal. Do it too. I wouldn't get the Wi-Fi from a fucking convention, because sometimes that's ridiculously expensive and not that great. I've seen people pay below $100, $200 for a weekend of Wi-Fi, and the signal's not that great because there's so many people on it, or there's just so too much interference. So I would try to get some of that, but that's a great thing, because if people are going to come and buy from you, the ATMs most of the time at conventions are rip-offs. They have huge surcharges. And most of the time people have a limited amount of cash that they want to use, and then the other side, you know, people, you know, are more comfortable using the card. I mean, yeah, of course, in the long run, I know a lot of artists that take only cash because of tax purposes, and they don't want to report shit and everything else. I know a lot of people that do that shit. We don't. It's not a big deal. Hey, man, I'll pay on the Caesar what is Caesar's, you know? But, you know, try to do that. Get change. Make sure you have change. If you're going to do cash, try to do change. What I do is I'll bother Martin Piero from Cosmic Times, because he always has change. And so I say, fuck it, why am I going to get change? I'll just take it from him. And that's what I do. So find yourself a sucker like the Martin Piero from Cosmic Times and have him make change for you. It works beautifully. So yeah, so have all that kind of set up ready to go, you know, your flyers, you know, this is something I tell people all the time. Look, they're not going to make a sale every fucking time. You know, sometimes just people are not either going to be into what you're doing, or they're cool, or maybe they have money only for certain things and everything else. You know what? At least let them walk away with a flyer. At least they know who you are and they'll look you up. You made a fan. Maybe you won't get them this year. You'll get them next year. Maybe they'll end up ordering online. Maybe they'll come back. But either way, you made a connection, and that's one more step forward, you know? You always have to go to that next step, you know? A little bit every time. One thing I would do, too, is if you're going to do a convention and everything else, this is a thing for survival. Take food with you. A lot of convention centers do not want you to take food. If you bring it, they see it, they'll tell you not to bring it in. Hide shit, take granola bars, bananas, fruit, shit that's healthy, because you're going to be surrounded by garbage fucking food the whole time, and you might dip into that anyway, like fucking shitty pretzels and hot dogs and stuff like that. But take shit to sustain you. Don't get fucking crazy starving. You know, whatever is good, you know, chips or whatever, and a shit ton of water, because if you're going to be talking or whatever, you're going to need a shit ton of water. And, you know, caffeine drinks. Like, I always take a couple of Red Bulls with me or something like that just to keep me going. You know, I would take iced coffee, but I hate iced coffee from a fucking can or a bottle. To me, it tastes like candy and shit. But, you know, take shit like that. Because all the shit inside the convention and most of the time around the convention, super expensive. Like, stupid expensive, stupid ridiculous. You're just going to blow a shit ton of money. It's just not worth it. It's better to bring a stash with you, something to sustain yourself. Have a damn good breakfast. Have this shit sustain you throughout. You get out of the con, go have a badass fucking dinner. You know, that's what we do most of the time. Sometimes we break. You know, sometimes there's times that you want the shitty pretzel. New York City Comic Con, big fucking tip. Inside, like, the hot dogs are like $5 fucking each. If you go right outside and go across the street, you'll get $2 hot dogs. I mean, they're dirty water New York fucking hot dogs, but hey, you can fucking fill yourself. Right outside the doors, too, they have all the places that do the kebabs and shit. Again, I always go and fucking, you know, grab a kebab or something like that, and it's something that's like $4, $5, you know? Because inside the con, everything else is, oof, frou-frou crazy fucking money. So yeah, I would just definitely, like, you know, just not deal with that. So now that the doors are open, you're ready, you're set, you have everything ready to go, what are you doing at a con? What are you doing there? Are you standing? Are you just doing this? Are you drawing? Or is there, you got to do a little bit of everything. Now, if you're an artist and you're doing commissions and you want people to get commissions and everything, if you're working on commissions, it's cool for you to draw. I would take a friend. I would have somebody with there, your significant other, a friend, maybe another artist that you can kind of try. And both of you, you know, while you're doing your thing, you're drawing. I would try to have the drawing on the table. Sometimes that's just the precious real estate. But I would have the drawing on the table so that, you know, people see you drawing. I would look up on occasion, just say hi to people, especially once you, you know, you, even from the corner of your eye, you can see when somebody shifts and they're stopping near your table. Just look up, say hi, what's up, how's everything, so that they feel comfortable enough to say hello or ask questions. Because some people, and I literally always, I say, hey, it's cool, if you have any questions, you know, I always say something, if you have any questions, feel free to throw a shoe at me. I do that a lot. It's the same fucking joke every time. So yeah, so when you do that, you know, people will ask, hey, what's this, what's that, oh cool, you know, what have you worked on, what that? Sometimes they'll just ask, hey, how much is this, or what's this, or this print, or you can tell them everything. You should have all the prices ready in your head. We don't post prices all the time, because I feel like then people have gotten their information and walk away. I rather have them ask me. That's one of our strategies. I'd rather be able to engage, especially if they're curious enough and want to talk, then there's a way of engaging. So I tend not to post prices, but we might be changing that soon just to try it out and everything. You know, one of the things too, if you're doing Square, PayPal, they'll send you a lot of promo little things, like stuff to say that you take Square, that you take credit card. If you don't have that or whatever, have something that says, I take credit card, because that's another factor for some reason. You know, I think there's a lot of people that go to these cons and they love everything they see. And the factor is how much it is and how can I pay. And if you want to be able to do all of that and not have a problem and everything else, have that information out there. But pricing, I tend to not have. I'll tend to tell people. Plus, you know, after that, too, I'm willing to haggle. Sometimes, you know, a bunch of different little items or some stuff come together and it's $23. And the guy says, I'll give you 20. Fuck it. It's clean. I don't have to make the change. He can give me a $20 bill. We're good to go. So, you know, there's a lot of little factors like that. But if you're not drawing, even if you're the fucking writer and you're not listening, stand the fuck up. That's like the biggest thing that we have. It's the pet peeve of Creature Entertainment, I guess, is that you can't just be sitting there like a fucking lump. You have to be doing something. Even if some people that are sitting there, they're tabulating something or they're writing emails or they're doing something, you've got to be doing something. So one of the fucking first things that we do is always stand up. You know, make sure we have a seat nearby. You want to take a break, put a knee on there. So that, but stand up and engage. Talk to people. See everybody that's passing by. It doesn't have to be all the time. There's sometimes a lull in things, especially if there's a special event. Or sometimes people are passing by or people are whatever. But standing up and talking and engaging. Even if it's whatever. What I would look out for is sometimes is, and it's happened at cons, and I just very honest. I always try to be as honest as possible. But I like, you know, we have friends that come over and they want to talk. Hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you. Hey, what's up? And you're talking, and if they're blocking, I'll say, hey man, can you come over this way so we can keep talking and people can keep seeing? I always do that because you won't believe what a person standing in front of your booth will do. I mean, it's, people will see that as, oh, he's busy. Sometimes people get, like, dumb. They'll be like, oh, you know, the guy didn't even want to talk to me. He was talking to his buddy. Shit like that. It's amazing how people interpret shit, but do something. There's other stuff you can do. One of the things that we do is try to Instagram everything, take pictures, put stuff on our Facebook. I mean, you won't believe how much that helps, too. You know, you do a con, you know, tag it, that con. See what the hashtag of the con is, because sometimes it's not as easy as what you think. You know, sometimes with these big ones like New York Comic Con, it's not New York. The hashtag's not New York Comic Con. It's always NYCC or NYCC and the year. So, I mean, try to find what is the major hashtag, you know, and go on Instagram, put up post, start posting, take pictures of your booth, the books that you have, whatever exclusives you have for the con, you know, whatever you might have put together or have you. That's the stuff that you want on there. You know, you want to make sure it's all on there. People can find it. People can see it. That kind of stuff. Once you got that going and have, you know, that part pretty much down, you know, keep that going throughout the day. We do a lot of, like, well, if I see a cool cosplay, I will take a picture and post it because I know my friends like to see that. And it's cool because then later on when I say, bro, I saw this girl in a Lobo costume and she looked fucking great. You know, my friend, I can show him the picture. I'll be like, oh, that's here. It's great for your website. I mean, it's good to take pictures like that and post it on there. Make a blog, you know, on your website and then post that and say, hey, this is the show. These are the pictures from the cosplay. Label each picture. A lot of the cosplayers themselves are going to look for stuff. You know, hand them a flyer. Tell them, hey, I'm going to put the picture on there. You know, when you take a picture of anything and be like, hey, I'm going to post it on the website. People like that because they're going to go and fucking tag themselves. Either they're going to put it on their website. If it's on Facebook, they'll tag themselves. They'll tag themselves on the Instagram. You know, whatever it is. And they'll find your Twitter feed. And that's how they end up following you or, you know, again, gaining fandom. This is the networking kind of problem thing that I'm telling you about. So I even walk around with a small stack of flyers in a pocket, you know. I'm most of the time in fucking cargo shorts, so I always have one fucking pocket full of flyers and business cards. So I always hand that out when I take a picture or something and talk to people. But once you do that, if you put it on your website, put a little ghost image on the corner with your website URL or with your logo so that if people repost it or they download it and they put it on there, people will still see it and they'll still see your shit. And it's a good way of inducting traffic back in and posting it around. This is that networking marketing part of social media that I'm telling you that sometimes it's like a bitch to fucking figure, but it's all about connectivity. So you got to just keep that going, you know. That's one thing you can, another thing you can do. Try to do, you know, this is again going back to learn, you know, knowing your promoters and your fellow creators and talking to people. Later on, once they know you've done it enough times, they'll start saying, hey, you want to go do a panel. I do a lot of indie comic book panels, indie publishing panels, even film panels sometimes, writing, you know, making comics, stuff like that. So I do that, you know, promote it. I'm going to start adopting the idea of putting a display stand and putting a stand or putting something, promoting, hey, we're going to be at such and such room at this time for our thing and telling people about it. I even picked up some really cool little sign thingies from IKEA. There's so many little things that you can buy for your table that I'm telling you, we found different stuff that works and doesn't work. And, you know, maybe I'll link some of that on the website. I'm going to see if I can do that. But, those kind of things to like get people, because that helps also. You do a panel, you go out there, you know, I've done panels where there's three people in the room, you know, and I've done panels where there's like 200 people in the room, 300 people in the room, and I'm taking a shit. I'm like, holy crap, everybody's looking at me. Those are great for promotion, because once they hear you and they talk to you and they hear about your stuff, then they want to come to your table and buy your shit. Hence why you have to do cons, why you have to go and fucking do these promotions. So that's a great way to get about it too. If they don't have a panel like that, lead one yourself. Do something, you know, panel wise that everything else can come up. I'm hopefully for the podcast, one of the things I'm going to be doing is I hopefully will be taking my laptop and my mic with me and take it to MegaCon and take it to a couple of cons and put the mic out there and record some of the panels that we do. So that'll be interesting. That'll be cool if I can do it. I might do a little fundraising beforehand to do that. Up to you guys. You can always donate on the PayPal button and help that happen. Because if I can get another snowball mic, I won't have to dismantle this one that's in my studio and go to the cons and do it. MegaCon will probably be the first dry run for that. I'm going to see what I can do on that end. But if not, you know, I'm going to try something else. But that's one something I'm looking into. So, okay. Going back to the conventions. So, you know, while you're there, there's a lot of that, all those kind of things that you can do. Don't sit, do a lot of social media. You know, you're going to talk to people. Now, the idea of promotion, that's a whole other bag. And when I'm saying promotion, I'm saying, like, if you're going to talk to people about what you're doing, like your project, your comic, where you're going. You got to be prepared. You got to have those answers ready for folks. I think the biggest problem with a lot of people is that either they stumble or you talk too much or too long on something and you lose people's interest. You know, some people are too shicky, the salesman bullshit. And depending on what you're selling, I mean, there's guys that have fucking, you know, they sell knives and swords. There's not much to fucking say. You're going to be, you know, more answering questions than anything because it's a fucking sword or a knife. There's not much to say. There's times that people are going to know more about a product that you're selling. If you're selling Funkos or you're selling whatever, that, you know, you're not going to really add to the conversation. But if it's your product and something that you made and you put together, you got to be prepared to answer all those questions. You won't believe how many people are just like, brr, like they don't know. And other people are just talk and talk and talk. And it's one of those things that, believe me, I sit there with like a fucking whip at the booth and I'm like, you know, shorten the shit, you know. And you want to engage people. This is your like pitch, you know. And you want it to be stupid. You don't want it to be long. You don't want to be hokey. You just want to know. You want to relay information as fast and as engrossing as possible without being an ass. Now that's of course pretty fucking hard. Like, you know, one of the perfect ways, I think the few gold stars that we have is like, you know, when I talk about our book Tommy, like since I'm one of the writers and I'm the artist for the series, you know, most of the time I'll talk to people about it, and when I tell them, I always tell them the same pretty much two lines, really, you know. They'll be like, oh, what's this about? And it's like, oh, Tommy's about a little kid who has an imaginary friend and he finds out his imaginary friend's a serial killer. That's it. Like that right there, I can tell if people are into it or not half the time from that. I mean, I can see their eyebrows. Like I tell you, that little eyebrow raise. Like, oh, okay. Ah, shit. Some people right there are like, oh, that's cool. Some people will just laugh and say, that's awesome. You know, and they'll walk away, you know. The cover for Tommy is a little abstract and interesting, but not as engaging as the other things. So that's something that I always had to like kind of support with a good line, you know. Unlike, let's say, Zombie Ears or Ravenous, which is more visceral. You know, you look at Ravenous, you have one of those awesome Patrick Riley painted fucking werewolves on the cover with a dude with a knife. You know already, okay, that's fucking cool. You know, I want to look at that. You know, I don't know what it is. I know there's something with werewolves and a guy. So fuck it, I want to go be able to go see that. Goddamn phone. Now, on the other hand of it, there's also the, you know, the thing like Zombie Ears. You know, there's like, you know, some people are just instantly, I like zombies, and they go to it. So I don't have to tell you too much. But even with Zombie Ears, you know, I can't fucking pretend that it's like this super original fucking concept. I mean, zombies, come on, that's done to death. Huh, get it? Done to death like a motherfucker. But, you know, I can say, well, this is the flavor, you know, of it that's different. And a lot of times I'll say it's like Walking Dead with better weather. I say that line like a million times a day. Anybody who's ever sat with me at my table, whoever like worked with me, they'll get sick of these jokes. And I'm sick of them myself. But I do that so that I can relate the idea of it as fast as possible. If I say it's Walking Dead with better weather, okay, cool. It's Miami. It's tropical. It's more Latino-based. It's more this. This is going to either turn you on or off or whatever. But even if it turns you off, at least you know what you're not getting into, you know? I don't want to sell something to somebody and they're not going to enjoy it, you know? Why would I want to do that, you know? Let's not lie about our products either, you know? You got to be able to make sure that they're going to enjoy it and they become a fan. That's what I want. Some people are not going to be into zombies. They're not into werewolves. They're not into zombies. Half the stuff sometimes, like, if you ever do a convention, like a manga convention, if you do a manga or anime convention and you don't have manga or anime shit on your table, you know, you're going to get weird looks. You're going to have people kind of going, eh, you know, kind of thing. You got to get used to it. Sometimes they're not going to feed into it. And I'm the same way. It's hard for me to sit there and have a dude dressed as a girl with cat ears. And I'm not into your shit. So you're not into my shit. So that's okay. That's okay to be at, you know. So have that really ready to go, you know. Don't waste people's time. They're in a world where things are exploding in front of their eyes. It's amazing how over-censored, like, over-sensed you can be. Like, you can just be so, like, bombarded by images and things at a con. How do you garner attention from all of that? You know, how do you gather those people to come in? That's the big deal. Without being a cheesy spectacle. I mean, I have seen everything from the screaming jerk-off fucking table where you have somebody who's screaming shit and they're just doing stupid stuff. You know, you have other times with, like, booth babes having, like, hot chicks at your table and they're holding comics. Yay. That, which isn't bad. It's a good way of getting attention and a good way for people to take pictures and everything else and to dig it. That's one thing. I mean, there's so many different angles that you can go about it. But in the end, you know, what you want to do is that when you do get their attention, if they are into it, because some people are going to be into it, they're going to walk up and say, I dig this. Why do I dig this? You have to be able to answer that. So, you know, have that prepared. Have your concept. And this goes to anything. If you make t-shirts, okay, how do you make your t-shirts? Why do you make these t-shirts? How do you come up with the ideas for these t-shirts? Blah, blah, blah. If you, you know, you make tchotchkes or little fucking craft things or bows for hair, how do you make them? When do you make them? Why do you make them? What material? You know, what technique? What have you? Be ready with it. Don't have to tell them all that, but be ready for the answer, because that's the biggest problem. I have, you know, I'll sit there and I hear a lot of people, it's a story, and it's a guy, and he's going, don't tell him the story. The story is meant to be read in the fucking book. What is the concept? What is the plot? Why am I looking at this? Even if you have to resort to the age-old, oh, it's fucking RoboCop meets Little Rascals, fuck it, then do that, you know, if you have to. Just so you can portray the idea and people can say, oh, cool, that's something I want to buy, that's something I want to get into. That's the thing, you know, that's the art of the spiel, you know. You know, people are going to come to your table, you might not get more than 3 to 8 seconds, depending on the pace of the con. So you need to engage without being an overbearing ass, you know? So again, just one or two lines describing your product or comic or whatever. Have anecdotes, you know, sometimes people say, how do you come up with that? Or how happened? Know about it, you know, remember what you've done to get there, you know? And the end, no matter what happens, if they walk away from your table, at least they have your info. Have a business card, have a flyer, have some way for them to come back and engage. And that's like, you know, later on, if you have a blog that keeps posting or you have a podcast, wink, wink, or nudge, nudge, they can find you and they'll say, oh, okay, cool. You know, I'm gonna check that out and I'm gonna be able to keep up with you. And so that, you know, a year can pass. They're going to see a year of your work, a year of what you're doing on. When you come to the con again, they're going to be the ones that are there. And this time they might be coming to buy your stuff. Now they said, hey, I didn't buy last year. This year I'm going to buy it, you know. You know, when we're talking about Tommy, I mean, I always feel bad, you know, because Tommy takes me so long to do sometimes because I got to run the company and I have to run everything that's going on. You know, people come back and they'll be like, hey, man, where the fuck is Tommy 3? And I'm like, I'm working on it, you know. And this time right now I'm working crazy, crazy hours just to finish Tommy issue 3 for MegaCon. So, I mean, you know, it's hard, man. It's freaking hard. But it's awesome to see people that come back and say, dude, you, like, almost threaten me. Like, man, you better have it for MegaCon. That's what you have to do. That's what you want to build up. And it takes time, man. It takes time. And you know, and everything, you got to pay attention to what's going on out there, you know. There's people, I mean, I know people that come back and they lost their job or this happened or that happened. You know, other people, you know, they get a big old tax return or they get paid. You know, you can tell, like, all right, cool, they'll come back and buy this, buy that. I had guys that bought original art from me all the time. They would buy, like, a page or something. Now they're not because they're not working as much or business isn't as good. It's a lot of factors, man. It's a lot of factors. But once you get that fan base and those people that you see again, it's so cool. Like, it's such a – that's a big payoff from the con. I mean, aside from making the money, you know, it to me is that fan base, you know. Now, as for money, I think this is something that we have to go over, you know. I think the biggest wrong idea that's out there, wrong, is that you're going to a convention to make money. Now, that being said, obviously, if you're a comic book shop or a seller or somebody that's selling collections or dealing, yeah, that might be your bread and fucking butter. And I'm not saying you can't make money at a con. You can. We have luckily gotten to the point of Creature Entertainment that we make money at cons. We do pretty good. I mean, at the very least, we break even. But most of the time, we'll make a good, nice, hearty profit enough to go to that next one and the next one and the next one. If anything, we're getting into a situation where we're noticing that the cons are kind of like the conventions we want to do are kind of like shuffling into the corners of the year, and you know, January is good, but then February is kind of dead, and then, you know, March is kind of dead, and now April's fucking lit up, and June is all lit up, and but July is kind of dead for us, so we're trying to figure out how we're going to go about, you know, evening out our con schedule. But, you know, remember, this is about promotion. A lot of the times the convention is about making that fan base. And if it's your first year, I don't know, it's not the same as I think it was before. There are a lot of people that would show up at cons and you would do crazy money and sell thousands of dollars and everything. It's not like that anymore, not right now. It's not that it's not possible. There are people that make crazy bank and they have really good shit, or they have a great fan base, but those people have grown it and made it in some other way. A lot of times you're going to come in from the other side. You know, as much as you think you're screaming from the rooftop about your project and about what you're doing, you're not. You're not doing that. You're not doing enough, you know, and so you got to learn to do more. And that's what these cons are for, to promote and get that word out. And to sit there and think about making all this crazy money. Look, cover, you know, we always say if you can make table, if you can make the cost of doing the con, you know, the hotel, the flight, the table, the shipping, the printing, and all that stuff. If you can make that, and you pretty much did a con for free, and now you have money to do an X con, you're in a great fucking place. Yeah, that's an amazing start. That's a good place to be at, you know? Banking? Now you got to figure that out. You got to figure out what products are out there that bank. Some people make great money off t-shirts, off original artwork. Some people make great money off prints. Some people make great money off buttons and stickers and shit like that. So there's all these different ways of going about it and making it. You just have to find yours, and that takes time and trying and trying and trying. You know, I will say this, try to have different monetary hierarchies, when you do a con, you know, go from, you know, you have your $3 item to your $20 item to your $100 item, let's say it's original artwork or whatever. But also, you know, try to see what else you can do. Like, hey, I'll throw in a sticker. You won't believe how much a fucking dumbass sticker or a button helps make a sale happen. And a lot of times if you do it, you know, it'll cost you 25, 50 cents to do that damn thing, but it allowed you to make a $25, $30 sale. You know, it's just dumb shit like that that you have to do to get things out there. But the main point is when you're doing a con is to get that connection, to make connections, to talk to promoters, talk to people, talk to other artists, talk to other writers, talk to other everybody, and so that you can keep that flow going. If you see that and you see that people are doing that and have those relationships and everything else, and be patient about it. You know, hey, the first year you do a con with a promoter, he might not know your fucking name. He might not remember you. But you come back the next year and they'll say, oh, cool, I remember that guy. He came back. Cool. And you go again, but, you know, after a while, they're going to be like, hey, man, you know, if they have another project, they have another con, they have another whatever, they're the first ones to say, all right, cool. If you go and, you know, maybe, you know, and little things, too. There's guys that we know that we do conventions with, and I don't have to pay them for the fucking table until the end of the con. You know how great that is? I don't have to front the money for the convention and be like, cool, man, don't worry about it. Pay me after the con's done. That's fucking great. There's other guys that I don't ever pay fucking tables for, because I've been with them since the beginning, and they say, hey, you know what? I want you here. We can hang out. We're friends. I'm going to help you. You know? That's from going out there and being helpful. Now, by the same token, I'm the first one to promote the shit out of their cons, promote the shit out of everything, post it everywhere, talk good about it, and look for people for them, and find artists and do all this stuff. It has to be. It's a two-way road, so you got to develop that. You know, that's what these conventions are for, man. That's, you know, why to do it. You know, this is the thick of it. This is the eye of the hurricane within it. And every little one, and again, if it's a little ballroom convention kind of thing, or it's a big, you know, if it's San Diego Comic-Con, they're all the same. You know, they all have that same dynamic. You gotta be, you know, good and be open and be patient and get on it, you know? So yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much what I could cover. I'm looking at my notes right now. I'm trying to see if there's, like, anything specific I didn't fucking, you know, do. But you guys tell me, you know, is there any other questions you guys have for the, you know, doing a convention? You know, what else do you think I need to cover for it, you know? It looks like this podcast is going to go for an hour. So, I mean, I think I covered everything, but you guys tell me.
By any means necessary, Come on, that's a bunch of horse shit. I know Calrissian was a black guy, you know. You got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did. Lando Calrissian is a positive role model in the realm of science fiction fantasy.
Fuck Lando Calrissian, Uncle Tom, nigga. Only some white boy gotta invoke the Holy Trilogy. Bust this. Those movies are about how the white man keeps the brother man down, even in a galaxy far, far away. Check this shit. You got cracker farm boy Luke Skywalker, Nazi poster boy, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you got Darth Vader, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian god.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. Now, Vader, he's a spiritual brother, you know, down with the Force and all that good shit. Then there's Cracker, Skywalker. Gets his hands on a lightsaber, and the boy decides he's gonna run the fucking universe. Gets a whole clan of whites together. And they gonna bust up Vader's hood, the Death Star. Now, what the fuck do you call that?
Intergalactic Civil War?
Gentrification! They gonna drive out the black element to make the galaxy quote unquote safe for white folks.
And Jedi's the most
insulting installment because Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied when he pulls off his mask to reveal a feeble, crusty old white man. They trying to tell us that deep inside we all wants to be white.
Well, isn't that true?
So that's the podcast today about gun conventions. Again, if you guys have any more questions, anything you want, guys want me to cover or talk about, you can always go and reach me at Twitter at Fwacata, Fwacata, or at our voicemail phone number 806-414-5826, 806-414-Juan. Eh? That was smart. Or you can always reach me at my email at secretmediagroup, all one word, at gmail.com. And you guys let me know what you think about the convention podcast, if I've covered all the doodads, the ins and outs, the everything. And so now I am going to leave you with the yuck voice stylings of some of the jerk-offs that got on The Voice. I actually laughed my ass off. I'm not mad or anything like that. I was laughing my ass off at some of these. Some were good, you know, some were not that great. But the guys that got on the voicemail and fucking filled it up with really stupid messages, I dug it. I have no problem with that. If anything, I'm kind of thinking in my head of doing a voicemail podcast of just stupid shit. That would be kind of hilarious. But I would have to really curate that, right? I mean, you'd have to really audition for me and give me something fucking funny to put on there, you know? So I'm going to leave you guys with that and some tunes and everything. And I will either see you next week. I'll probably do a mini cast somewhere in between that time. See what I'll touch upon. But let me know what you guys think and all that crap. And you guys stay fucking beautiful. Stay awesome. Keep fucking doing it. And see you later.
That was the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. I mean, look at you. You're the kind of guy that would beg for sex. And I should know. We smell our own. We'll be right back.
You see, while this is Bill, I kind of have a problem. I seem to have gotten myself into a little bit of a mischief with the ladies and the women. Do you have any tips for me to get out of my conundrums about, and I need some help? Perhaps, maybe I can give you a couple of the jello pudding pots to get me out of the trouble.
Hi, I was just wondering how many goddamn dicks I have to suck around here to get a little respect. Because if it's like three, I'm cool with that. But any more, I'm not, you know.
Hello, Juan. I was wondering, when shifting from the temporal void into the Earth realm, do I need to wait 5 or more days until I'm properly recalibrated? Or can I enter the nether realm and the earthly plane back and forth via the transcending rainbow? Thank you.
Hey, Juan. I'm sure you've probably gotten a lot of prank questions by now, but I have a real one for you. All right, this is serious. Would you rather get fingered by Edward Scissorhands or fisted by the Hulk? Please let us know. The world is dying to know.